Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsaker. Today's episode will be a little bit different from our regular podcasts. Today we'll be featuring a guest host, Dale Smith, Director of UI and Workforce Programs at TCS, Tata Consultancy Services. Dale will be talking with Andrew Stettner, who is the Director of the Office of Unemployment Insurance Modernization at the United States Department of Labor. Recently, Andrew was recognized for his work at the Department of Labor with his induction into the Fed 100 class of 2024. To celebrate this honor and to talk about the work he's doing to continually improve how states can deliver unemployment insurance programs, support their constituents, and mitigate fraud, waste, and abuse, we invited Andrew to talk about developments in the UI space and all that he's learned in his career. I hope you enjoy their conversation today. Dale and Andrew, it's over to you.
Thank you, Lucas, for the great introduction and letting us take over the Government Technology Insider podcast today. And Andy, thank you for joining me to talk about the Fed 100 Class of 2024 honor and the work you're doing to improve how unemployment insurance systems work for both the people that use them and depend on them and the people that are running them. Unemployment insurance is certainly a very important system in the country, and it's great to have somebody like you that is making sure that we are looking to the future and understanding how we need to adapt to the future.
It's a pleasure to be here, Dale, and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Let's get started then. Congratulations on being named to the Fed 100, Andy. Let's start with a brief description of the award, and then would like for you to tell us, what does the award mean to you?
So the award is by a magazine and website, FCW, which has named 100 influential federal government officials in the federal IT community that had the biggest impact in 2023. And it's selected by a panel of independent judges. And it's a recognition of the hard work that everyone here at the U.S. Department of Labor and the states have been doing to improve unemployment insurance technology in the several years coming out of the pandemic. It's a chance to celebrate what we've accomplished and the direction in which we are going.
So you've spent your career advocating for and improving unemployment insurance programs across the country. No doubt many of the obstacles have been technology related, just as we saw during the pandemic. What are some of the challenges with IT that you have experienced over the past 15 years?
Well, how much time do we have? So I would say, Dale, that often when we think about government programs, we just think about the laws and the policies as being the problem. But we really have to think about the way in which benefits are delivered and administered. And today, technology is absolutely at the heart of everything we want to do to improve the unemployment insurance system. The first challenge I want to mention is something that probably listeners either have their own personal experience or either a family member having a personal experience. Really, it's the resilience of UI technologies and their ability to change, especially during the pandemic, but not the first time. Unemployment insurance, it's our first responder to economic distress, and it's repeatedly asked to implement new programs in the middle of an emergency. But even making what seems to policymakers like a small change, for example, the amount of money you get in an unemployment check can take weeks or months to complete. And really that's because of the reliance of many states, either on legacy technologies, we're talking about languages like COBOL, green screens that people are probably more familiar with in the movie War Games than anything they're using currently. And even states that are more modern are too often monolithic, meaning that they are one big piece of technology, one big box that if you make any one change to it, the whole system may indeed crash. The second piece I want to mention to your question, Dale, is user testing. It is such a hard proposition for technology companies and the states to build a system that meets all the many legal requirements for unemployment insurance and this is not something that's unique to unemployment insurance, it's true of many government programs, that too often government agencies stop there and don't think about how the implementation of technologies will impact users. I'm not just talking about user acceptance testing. That's just making sure the technology does what it's supposed to do, but actually user testing in the unemployment insurance context. I mean, testing it with individuals filing for unemployment insurance and the employers and their agents who need to use the system on the customer end. That's a critical challenge we've seen because of that. What's one reason that many of the deployments of new technologies have been very difficult because they've been turn off the lights on a system on one day, turn the lights on a new the next day, but it's not properly tested with the users and it has lots of unforeseen challenges. That's one reason we've been talking about UI modernization as something that needs to be a continual process. Testing it beforehand and then knowing from the day it's deployed is the first day you're thinking about what needs to be changed to make it work better. I'll just continue on to just a couple other challenges to answer your question, Dale, please. And then, you know, I'm eager for the conversation. Taking on access to these benefits, the applications and putting them online has so much potential to make the process easier. How much easier it is to apply for a benefit program, you know, self-service, customized to your needs without having to travel to an unemployment office or spend hours on the phone. But in the unemployment insurance space, there have been too many instances where taking something that was previously something you could do in person or on the phone and putting it online actually made it more difficult to complete. And that's especially true in rural areas without strong broadband. And for those customers that have lower education or digital literacy levels or language barriers, you know, just to give your listeners context, it can take upwards of an hour or an hour and a half to complete an entire unemployment insurance application. And just imagine that being in a system where you might get kicked out and have to start all over again if you get timed out when your internet connection isn't stable. You know, I always think about, you know, I've done some research on this, and I remember meeting someone. She had to file for unemployment insurance every year when her factory shut down in the rural area that she lived in. She actually had a guaranteed date of return to work, you know, when the factory opened. And so she needed some exceptions to the usual rules for unemployment insurance. That was something she used to do by driving to an office near her home where they helped her set all that up. Well, that office no longer did unemployment insurance, and it was difficult to get someone on the phone. The only reason she had an email address was to file for UI. That's the only time since the entire year that she would establish an email and check her email. She had been so many challenges. You know, luckily she was in a union. She had a union steward and fellow union members to help her, but she's probably someone that would not have been able to access benefits through the online system because of those barriers. And we need to be thinking about how can we make the current delivery system, where the vast majority of transactions are being done online, accessible to as many people as possible. So let me stop there with a few challenges, Dale. Happy to do any follow-up.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about those challenges, but let's look at them from the perspective of solutions that you may have identified or advocated for to ease the burden on the citizens and the employers.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the pieces is just making it easier for you to get information about your status. Many times there's an additional step that a customer, either an employer or an individual needs to take. And so the same way that you can go on your bank account app and you can see your bank balance and any actions you need, we want to see that same concept in unemployment insurance. Sometimes we call it a pizza tracker. The same way you can see where your Domino's pizza is in the oven, you can see where your claim is and where your next step is at. And then when you're designing those things, you know, on the website, making it easier for claimants to understand what they have to do next. We've worked with a number of states through our office and some funding we have through the American Rescue Plan to rewrite the text on their website in their notice in plain language with clear language written at a lower grade level and with clear action steps about what to take next. I've seen sentences, Dale, you've probably seen them, said, we have found that you are not involuntarily unemployed from your job. Well, that is, you know, that's a double negative. You probably get a D minus on your paper if you wrote it that way. Too often, we write our notices in language like that. Help boxes. We've seen states do that. Little call outs, those little info buttons where you get more information. Sometimes there are times you have to use legal terms, but let's explain them. Nano videos, chat bots, other places where people to find help on how to complete an online application. On the way in which websites are designed, we've been talking and we're starting to see this in more cases, more mobile first design in the way that states are developing their state IT. Most people on the lower income level and increasing number of Americans are accessing the internet primarily through a mobile phone. So we need the websites to be designed in a way that it works effectively on your phone, be able to see text in enough size, have the responses, not just squishing a computer screen onto your phone, but really one that fits into a mobile phone. And we're seeing now most states making the move. Either they've made their website mobile accessible, or they're working on making it mobile accessible. And there's more you can do even when you take those first steps to move more to a mobile first design. And then, you know, lastly, taking an approach of people plus technology. So technology makes things faster and more powerful. We design these systems and we need to have an approach that's people plus technology. So maybe that's meant for us. Some of the funding that we've deployed, some of our state partners have trained community health workers to go out to rural areas and to Indian reservations with a laptop. And they can help the individual put the information they need on their application into that laptop. And then they can bring it back to an area that has good internet access, back to an office, and upload that into the state's computer system. So what's the people plus technology strategy we need to help people navigate these online applications, which can be pretty complicated for people? Those are a couple of solutions that we're seeing right now.
Great. That's important information, and those are important steps. So certainly plain language is critical in getting away from the legal language that so many states feel compelled to put in their responses to the customers. Let's talk a little bit about best practices. What are some of the best practices that you have discovered along the way in your journey toward helping people with benefits and with your journey through unemployment insurance modernization and technology? What are some of the best practices that you could point to, Andy?
Yeah, so I will say a couple of things on that. And I want love to talk about some of the things we've been doing even most recently. You know, when we saw, you know, during the pandemic, these, you know, unacceptable delays, you know, systems not working, governors and the public wanted something better. But often a full replace of all the systems needs to run unemployment insurance can take years to do. And so we have been working with states to adopt a more agile and iterative process to modernize their unemployment insurance system. One of the first states we worked with was the state of New Jersey. People that may follow this area may have seen at one point the governor of New Jersey went into one of his COVID press conferences and asked the general public if there's any COBOL programmers available who might be willing to work for the New Jersey Department of Labor to deal with all their demands. Well, rather than taking years to replace a system, they worked to bring a modern front end to the system driven by user testing with a prototype that was able to reduce the time to file an application by 45 minutes. And now bringing that prototype live into a larger share and will eventually take all the claims in the state while they're iteratively phasing out aspects of the back end of their system through an agile process. This became a very important proof point, you know, for our work and the way in which we're encouraging all of our state partners, you know, to do their work, to adopt more modular programming using more agile development processes and beginning to move their system from on-premises services and into the cloud. Another, best practice we've seen and are really encouraging are states sharing their technology. And I know that's something that you're very familiar with, Dale. And, we kind of did it in a top-down way first here at the Department of Labor. We kind of said, well, you have to do it a very certain way. You have to have a group of states that work very tightly to develop a shared technology platform. That's worked for some states, but also other states are finding additional ways to make all the work they've done in their system available to another state as the start of their modernization, sharing lessons and components between each other as they develop them, which really can reduce the cost over time. So that's definitely a best practice. And it's something that's really evolving in a really great way at this stage. Another state that I want to call out, the state of Michigan, they are also another state that's delivering value more quickly, but they're doing it in a creative way. It is going to take them some time to replace their back-end system and even their portal that individuals and employers get into. So they developed some additional website text on the website that they control that's kind of a how-to guide, both a journey for claimants and a comprehensive employer help center that directs employers to exactly where they need to go to do their different functions. So that was something they do, and they tested that with samples of users before they unveiled the public website. So again, they're delivering value more quickly, even as some of the modernization process will take a little bit longer to take. So those are a couple of best practices that we're seeing going forward.
Great examples, Andy, and thanks for sharing those. One final question that I have for you is, how do you see the tech stack or the platform for UI evolving for the future? You talked some about components earlier. Will components be figured into that, or exactly what do you see the future being?
Yeah, and so I think that's a great question because I want to say that it's important both that we're thinking about how the website front end is optimized and, for customer experience. That's a key part of what we're doing. We measure lots of things in unemployment insurance, but we're really working with our states to measure more the customer experience. How long does it take to do different tasks? Where do people drop off the application? What do people say in the kind of Qualtrics or other customer experience information that they push back, to their users? So, but it's just as important that the back end, the way in which it's developed and architected, that's also critical for the performance and the ability to have the kind of excellent customer experience. So we're really leaning into that as well. We have given some support to a new initiative called the Open UI Initiative. That's really focused on promoting more modular development of the unemployment insurance technology stack. In simple in the way we're talking about it, rather than just having the technology be one big block, think of it more as a set of Legos that builds together to what the system needs, and that you can swap out one of those Legos with a new component without having to swap out the whole system, or you can just take one of those components offline, improve it, test it, and deploy it back into production more quickly without having to take the whole system down. And part of that is having systems have a bigger priority for the use of APIs so they can take advantage of other technologies out there in real time. This is especially important in the area of fraud prevention. Our system is one that's at a high risk for fraud, and we need to be innovating and making it easier for the states to work with different technologies in the private sector and ones that we're making available through our partnerships to the states. So that's a critical aspect of where of the system is going. This is an initiative that we are involved in funding, but it's really run for the users. It's being developed by the Information Technology and Support Center, which is an initiative that's run by the National Association of State Workforce Agencies. That's all the states coming together. We want to make the market work better for the customers that are out there, the states. And so this initiative will be setting a framework for what a good system looks like. What are the key components and how they talk to each other? That's going to make it much easier for the market to respond. because the states are going to be coming together and saying what we need in different components, what are the different Lego blocks that are similar, and if the states are asking for similar things, it's going to make the market easier for the market, you know, to respond and make that sharing of technology, which we just talked about, across the states a little bit easier for all the states.
Andy, thank you for this, for spending the time with us this morning and talking about the vision that you have. And certainly we want to congratulate you for your inclusion in the Fed 100 class of 2024. Is certainly a most appropriate honor for you, and it's been an honor for me to get to sit down with you and talk with you and hear your thoughts on where we're headed in the future.
No, thank you so much, Dale. It's been a real honor. I'm honored to talk with you, work with a great team here, our own CIO's office, which is helping us with so many of these projects, including our work to bring government ID verification services with an API to our state partners. So there's so much exciting going on here with unemployment insurance technology. It feels like we are turning the corner into making this into a much more resilient and reliable system for everyone who counts on it.
I believe you're correct, Andy. I think we are turning the corner in the unemployment insurance world.
Thank you, Dale and Andy, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested in staying up to date on the best practices and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technologies in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I'm your host, Lucas Hunsaker, and until next time, so long.